walked in the house. Sorry, that was so loud.
That was really loud. My upstairs neighbor is probably just like.
Today, when I walked in the house, Allie was like, you look very Aguilarian. And I'm like, well.
She literally goes, that's exactly what I was going for.
I did just kind of hit that. Whoa, that was crazy.
Madison's a good singer, you guys. She always has been.
Only when I'm not trying, though. Like, if you, like, put me on a stage at karaoke, it's like a donkey. Like, shit does not come out right.
Dude, before we start the podcast, before we even cheers, speaking of Christina Aguilera, have you seen her recently?
No.
Dude.
Oh, how skinny she is?
She's like aging backwards.
She's a clone. It's a clone.
Like, I'm so confused.
She's so tiny, too.
Listen, Ozempic. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on the Ozempic train. Ozempic. But my thing is, it's not just like that she's so skinny. She looks like she literally looks like her
skin, her face, her hair.
Same with Lindsay Lohan. Like, I saw a clip of her. I'm like,
it's crazy what happens when you stop doing heroin.
But it can't just be that. It's got
to
be like.
I mean, they're rich as fuck. You know, they do like vampire facials, facelifts.
But
like,
I need to know exactly, Lindsay, if you're listening, I need to know exactly what you did so that I can do that too.
Let us know. Cheers, cheers, baddies.
Episode 43.
Holy shnikes.
Tink.
Tink. Oh, I forgot to tink.
You weren't even cheering.
Just like rubbing our glasses together.
Tink. Rubbing bang. Our glasses.
Fucked. What's up, little squirrels? Mm-hmm. Tiny baby, infant baby squirrels.
Today, Madison goes, I can't wait to talk to our baby squirrels tonight. And I was like, who?
What?
She goes, our podcast listeners? And I was like, oh, okay.
Are they squirrels now?
I thought they were the baddies.
Bad squirrels.
So you guys are the baby squirrels.
Baby squirrel club. It's like the pink pony club, but better. It's,
yeah. Well. Different.
Different. shouldn't say better.
Better.
Immediately canceled off the internet. I actually, speaking of things that are politically incorrect, want to say something very politically. No, just kidding. Last week, we did the Zach Bryan pod, and we started off with a song.
Last week, we let the liquor talk. We literally.
Last week, we let the liquor talk.
Last week, we had so much to say about the Brack.
The Brack Bryan?
Last week, we had so much to say on the Brack. Oh my God.
Fucking get it together.
Last week, we had so much to say on the Zach Bryan, Breonna Chicken Fry situation, like narcissist. But then we didn't film till midnight and we were hanging out. It's a Friday. That's why we can't film on Fridays.
We don't film on Fridays. It's not allowed.
Because every time we film on a Friday, we not get allowed. So drunk.
We have officially been banned from filming on the weekends.
Yeah.
I literally left borderline blacked out. Yeah. I was like, can we film the podcast?
And both of us the next day, every time something like this happens, we talk like usually a day or two later and both of us have like the scaries for the podcast.
There was one morning that we woke up the next day, we both texted each other, we're like, we're not posting that, right? We were both like, yeah, no, absolutely the fuck not.
And then this one, we were like, well, fuck, we kind of have no choice because we waited so long in the week to film, we were gonna have to miss an episode. I wonder if anyone listening can tell.
Can you guys tell when we're borderline blacked out? That doesn't normally happen. Last week was, I mean, we have like a glass of wine or two glasses of wine max. We were taking shots last week.
Yeah, like, it was Friday night. We literally did not sit down to film until like 12:30.
But the point to my story was that one of our followers had posted that the song that we had sang in the beginning, which mentioned Zach Bryan's STDs, was insensitive. And I just wanted to clarify, we are not coming at him for his STDs. That was the diss track.
Yeah.
We didn't write it.
We did not write that song.
Ain't nobody over here hating or spreading misinformation about STDs. Yeah, I feel
like the person that probably commented that isn't like in on the lore of the situation.
She didn't understand why we were singing that. I think that they were a very loyal listener, which is why I want to very much clarify. We're not spreading misinformation or hate. It was the diss track.
Yeah, no, we would never judge anybody for an STD. Like, shit happens. We get it.
You ever been to a gonorrhea clinic? Because one of us has.
We won't name names, but... Oh, yeah?
It's literally you. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh. Shall we move on, Madison?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yeah, no, we definitely weren't. I didn't even consider that when we were singing it, but I think we were just singing. Well, actually, to be fair, we sang the whole diss track.
No, you don't even know what occurred.
Yeah.
We rapped for like 30 minutes trying to get the rap. Okay,
if you haven't heard the diss track, you need to look up. It's by Barstool, Dave Portnoy.
It's been taken down off of. It's completely banned.
You can find it somewhere.
Oh, I'm a boomer, so I'm like, it's
you
gone.
You can find it on TikTok. Like, go to TikTok and search Dave Portnoy.
Zach Bryan diss track.
It'll come up. Josh Richards, like, they did this rap song diss track to Zach Bryan because he fucked over their coworker Brie, and not just fucked her over, but like traumatized her, abused her. And we for some reason thought that, you know how sometimes we open the podcast with a song
sometimes Unfortunately, it's become legitimately a staple.
Every time. Okay, so we were like, well, tonight we can sing this song. And unfortunately for us, it wasn't singing, it was rapping. And I'm not kidding, we spent
half hour, 45 minutes
trying to learn this song to rap it to you guys.
Rapping it over and over and over.
And then when I was editing, so like the very last part of the song is the STD part of the song, like the singy song part that we kept in the podcast. That was the only part I left in because that was the only part that didn't make me want to curl into a ball and roll myself off of a cliff.
You don't want to see what we saw. You don't want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Honestly, just forget that whole podcast. Yeah. To be quite honest with you.
The fact that we actually sat here and filmed that, not the podcast, well, that too, but the intro, song.
And we thought it was a good idea.
And we were like, that was the take. We watched it back. We said that was the one.
Sometimes it just happens, you guys. Like sometimes you're having drinks with your girls and yap it on the pod. And then we named it the Sippin' Yap.
Oh, yeah.
There was no sipping going on. We were legitimately glugging from the bottle.
Glugging yap.
So long story short, we've had a glass of wine tonight and we are super excited to cover our questions topic, our questions pod. Because that's what it was supposed to be last week, but it was, you know, the internet tea. So questions pod, we had some really, really great write-ins and we also have some really great listeners. Like we fucking love you guys. I know I say that every time we film.
You do be saying that a lot, but it's true.
Love you guys. Hey, we've been getting DMs. True. Like, I'm so sorry I never DM'd you before, but I love you. I'm like...
Okay, so they're listening. But yeah, so we're excited for the questions pod. We get like randomly people will send us like their situation. And honestly, I wonder if we should do a segment where, or like an episode where we like read people's situations and give our advice on. But sometimes, okay, I'm just going to be real with you guys. Some of these situations that you guys be sending us.
I'm like straight up call the police.
And then it ends with like, what do you think I should do? Run, move, fire him.
Anything.
Call the cops.
Some of the situations that we have received. Get out. Some of them are very normal and good and we're excited to talk about them, but some of them I'm like I am genuinely concerned.
Like I think there was one recently where, and we're not making fun of anybody here, but it's just genuinely like if you're listening to this and this was you, it was like he was with another girl, told her that he was gonna do stuff with her, they did stuff in the past, and then he told her that he would hit, and then when I asked him about it he said he was just saying stuff, but then said he just like wasn't feeling me that much today, and so I gave him some space and then saw that he was with that girl that he told me not to worry about. My girl, run away, go away, so far away. That man does not like you. I'm so sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but like there are some telltale signs whether a man likes you or not.
Absolutely. It's super obvious if you actually just like pay attention.
Yeah. And I think we as women or people that care, or maybe you're younger or less experienced in a relationship, or maybe you're just really hopeful and optimistic. There comes a point, and I think this is our point for the last podcast we were talking about, like sometimes you have to really experience the shit to really recognize
it. You have to go through it to get it.
You have to see it, because like why would you assume that someone would play you the way that they did? Why would someone stick around and tell you that they like you and keep you around if they actually don't like you? Why would they tell you that they like you if they don't like you? Here's what I'm going to say to that. If someone is not showing you that they like you, they don't like you. And I know it's a tough pill to swallow. Like maybe they like you, they like your company, maybe they like you as a person, but they don't see a future with you and they don't see how they're treating you as a bad thing. And so they're not going to change because they actually don't care about you. And it's funny because you could be dating the biggest piece of shit of a man. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't treat you well. Always has a wandering eye. You know, you can't get this man to just fucking focus on your relationship and be better. And then he meets the person that he actually wants to be with right after.
And all of a sudden he does.
And he's just a completely different person. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't still treat her poorly, but sometimes like when a man doesn't like you, it's so obvious to them and to you, but you're just ignoring the signs.
Yeah,
and then they meet someone that they actually do like and you see like this whole different side of
them. So obvious when a guy actually likes a girl.
Yeah, like you can tell. I know guys that I went to high school with that I never imagined being the lover boy type, but then they fall in love, like actually like,
what
fall
the fuck?
In love.
They have like this extravagant proposal and like the tip of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
This is like a guy that is dumb as a box of rocks.
And
like,
And so like, obviously this is not to make you feel bad if you're in this situation, because
don't feel bad.
It's
do
not
better.
You.
Yeah.
It's not you. Like your person is out there and this person that's not treating you well, like there's a couple of scenarios that could be true, right? He could just not like you that much, or he could actually just be a fucking piece of shit. That's always going to treat. You're the only one that would know the answer to that question. But for the most part, I think if a man really does care and want to make something work with a person, like he's going to make it work. And before we get into the questions, there was a study done on relationships. And essentially it said that the number one indicator that a relationship is going to work or fail is dependent entirely on how the man acts in the relationship. Now, of course, this isn't to say that the woman doesn't have to still do her part, but the data showed that very heavily if the man wasn't happy or interested did or doing his part in the relationship, that the relationship was most likely to fail. And I just feel like that is such a good thing to remember when you're in a relationship, because as a woman, you can do everything you can to make a relationship work. But like, if the man isn't also pulling his weight,
there's nothing you can do.
It's not going to work.
And you're not going to want to hear this, but if your man does not love you more than you love him, your relationship is not going to work. He has to love you more.
Unfortunately, it's so true. And that's
Ellie's face. It's like, my man really does love me more.
No, but unfortunately, there is some truth to that. And that's not saying that we don't love our partners.
Oh, no. I love my man so... I love him with every fiber of my being. I'm not saying, like, be a shit to your man or something. Yeah. It's a very specific, like, genetically, men, if they don't like you, if they don't love you more than anything, they're not going to put their all into the relationship.
And I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but men like a little bit of a chase.
A little game. They love it.
Like, they don't want to feel, even if you're married, okay? Because, and I'm not saying play fucking games, right? I'm just saying men like to feel like they're solving problems. Men like to feel like they are winning something or gaining something from their situation, right? So you're married to them. You have babies with them. They know that they have you locked down.
It's locked down.
Like, women need to feel that way. It's like the polarity of a woman needs to feel like their man is constantly doting after them and chasing after them, and a man needs to feel like he's constantly chasing after
his woman. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and there's such truth to that. I'm saying that you should go play games or go be something you're not, but when you click into the relationship that is the relationship that was meant for you, there will be a natural cycle of the man kind of chasing and you kind of leading.
Well, it's masculine and feminine energy.
Exactly.
If you're in your feminine energy, then you are letting the man come to you. You're releasing control of the situation, because that's the masculine energy. And this will not only help you attract partners, but this will help you be in a healthy, happy relationship that makes you feel fulfilled as a woman. Because when you're with a partner that allows you to be in your feminine energy, and this is coming from me and Madison, who are both very controlling, like
masculine.
Like, we like to have, not like we like to have control, but we are usually the people in control of most situations.
We've been wearing the pants since we came out of the fucking womb.
Yeah. So it's nice when you meet somebody that kind of allows you to sit back into your feminine energy and like they take over.
There is no better feeling than not having to worry about everything all the time. And actually, this is something that I was talking about, is mental load. As women, we take on so much mental load because not only are we worrying about everything we're doing, we're also worrying about everything our man is doing. Because let's be honest, if you ask your man to do something, 9 out of 10 times he doesn't do it the way that you would have done it. And so instead of it just being done and off your plate, now you have to also worry about redoing what he's already done. And I think it's so important for men to learn that asking your wife what she wants you to do is not taking her mental load off of her plate.
No.
You have to do what she needs you to do without asking her, and do it the way that it should be done.
Yeah. Like, pay attention. I'm not saying, you know, like, there's something as small as watching your man load the dishwasher and he's not loading it the right way. Like, I saw a TikTok of this woman. She was recording her husband. He's doing the dishes and loading the dishwasher. And then she flipped the camera back on her because he was loading it the wrong way. And it was like just taking up so much space and just like not the most
efficient
way to do it. And then on the screen, she was like, he's helping. Like, he's helping.
Well, because you can't nitpick somebody.
Like, something for helping and trying and doing those things. And so there's like, there has to be that balance, right? Where they're helping you and it's not the way that you would do it. But then at the same time, it's like, it's nice for the woman because there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Like, there's a right way to load the dishwasher. That makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
So as the man in the relationship, if you're looking for a way to take a mental load off of your partner, pay attention to the little things like that. Or like, I saw another TikTok where this guy was sitting there and he was recording himself peeling seeds out of a pomegranate. And he was like, my wife loves to eat pomegranates, but in passing yesterday, she said that she hates having to peel the pomegranate seeds out of her pomegranate. So she's asleep right now and I'm up.
I'm gonna peel her pomegranate.
He peeled 4 pomegranates for her and like de-seeded them and stored them. And he's like, she didn't ask me to do this because I don't want her to get to the point where she has to ask me.
Yeah.
And it's such a small thing, but he's like, it really is the small things.
It's as simple as putting the leftovers away right. Like, don't put the pan in the fucking fridge.
Yeah.
Put it in Tupperware.
Yeah.
That is how you can take someone's mental load away, especially a woman's, because it's like, it's really nice that you put the leftovers away. I have to go put it away right now.
Yeah.
It's really nice that you cleaned the kitchen. Thank you so much for doing that. Now we have mice.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. Yeah. And then you're chasing them all around your house. That's a story for another time. But honestly, you want to know the fastest way to lose a man is by chasing him. Men cannot stand an overly available woman. Mm. And that is why it is so important to have like that allure and that mystery, especially when you're in the very beginning stages, because men love the chase. And if you make yourself available, they will not want you.
It takes away their curiosity. And men like to feel like they are on the hunt for something. That's literally like, there's the hunters, which are the men. And then there are the gatherers, which are the women. Why do you think women like to go to Target, like browse?
Like, I'm not trying to put people in a box here. If you're a woman and you feel like you're a hunter at heart, my girl, be hunting.
No, we're not saying like this has nothing to do with gender or gender roles or anything. Like, you're welcome to be whoever. Like, I
be the breadwinner if you want. Yeah.
I'm just saying emotionally, what, like, I mean, biologically, I don't know. This could be controversial. I feel like women are more aware, self-aware, aware of other people, emotionally intelligent. It's just natural for us.
Absolutely.
Like, whether or most not, of us, whether for sure. or not you're the breadwinner, I think in comparison to a man, you are. There was a study that was done on men and women where they took a group of men and a group of women and they put them all individually into a room alone and left them there with no distractions for 24 hours. At the end of the 24 hours, they pulled each of them out and asked them, what did you think about? What did you do? Like, what was going on in your head, basically? And the men had all the same answer almost collectively, sports and porn. And then they asked the women, what did you think about? What did you do? What was your experience? What was going on inside of your head? And the women all said that they were replaying conversations that they had had and scenarios and things that they had experienced within the last week, month, even back to 10 years prior. And I think that's such a good example of how different the female and male brain really are. Women, we are analytical. We are emotional. And we are gonna remember every single detail because that's just who we are. Whereas men, they're kind of like flies. Like, they have such a short attention span. What's right in front of them is all they can think about. And then when they're away from something, that's all they think about. And when they're alone with no distractions, they're thinking about the things that
are right in front of their, like,
interest them most.
They don't, like, go deeper at all.
There is no deeper thinking. And I'm not saying this is for all men and all women, but it was, you know, the general consensus of that study that was done.
Well, and this is so on par with something I said very early on in this podcast, but I'll say it again. When I saw a therapist and she showed me a picture of two brains, a man's brain and a woman's brain, and the woman's brain looks like firework went off and the man's brain has three dots lit up. And it just really shows you like a visual representation of how significantly different our brains are functioning like at all times. And a quote that I heard recently said, I hope what I'm going to say is about to save you a lot of time and energy, but he's just not that into you. Move on. Have a nice day. If you're considering, questioning, wondering somebody's feelings for you, he's just not that into you. It's okay. Move on. You're gonna be okay.
Literally. I like that you said it's okay because sometimes it feels like, what is wrong with me?
No, it's okay.
No, it's really okay. You're actually probably better fucking off.
Way better off.
If someone doesn't have the intellect or the energy to match you or recognize how great you are, then you don't want them anyways.
Absolutely.
The feeling when someone like actually recognizes you for how smart and funny and pretty and all of these amazing things that you love so much about yourself, like, it's such a good feeling versus like dating all of these pieces of shit. They don't even have to be pieces of shit. Just people that don't see you for you. Like, think of it this way. Would you be friends with somebody that didn't like you or didn't call you or didn't think you were funny or smart?
Somebody who didn't treat you very well or make you feel very good about yourself?
Like, why would you want to spend time around that person? I think it's really easy to let our romantic feelings cloud our judgment in those types of situations. But if you really take a step back and say, would I allow my friend to treat me like this? No, I would never be friends with someone that didn't think I was funny or smart. And you can tell immediately.
That's actually great advice.
Thank you.
Holy shit, she's spitting bars. Like, thank it's you. Rare that I actually, I'm just kidding. But seriously though, like, I wouldn't be friends with somebody that treated me a quarter of the way that some of my exes did. Are you kidding? Yeah. You can fuck off, bitch. You can touch these hands, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah. You want to fucking, you want to throw it down?
It's funny how we get ghetto on the podcast.
Literally, like, who do we think we are?
We're actually a little bit ghetto.
When we lived in California, like Southern California, everyone would always ask us where we were from.
Why do you guys act like that? Why do you talk like that? Why are you guys always-
What's your accent? We're just from Reno.
But
But I guess it is a little ratchet here.
So anyway, we're moving on to the questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for writing in. We're not going to get to all of them tonight because we spent the first 40 minutes not shutting the fuck up, but welcome to the podcast. We're going to get into a couple of the questions that kind of coincide with the topics that we're already talking about tonight. And we are going to keep the questions confidential unless you want a shout out. If you want to write in a question and like be like, yeah, shout me out, we will. I just want to like...
Yeah, but because like...
This girl's like, I have eye herpes. I'm like, I'm not doing...
No, this is like, shout out Sarah.
Sarah and the Sun had a train run on her and got oral herpes. It's no big deal, girl. Happens to the best of
us. So her question is, it's like...
That was all fictional, by the way.
Yeah, no, there's no Sarah on the Sun.
Watch, there really is and we get sued. So our first question, I love this question. Let's end some men.
I haven't heard it yet, so like, let me know.
Is about guys who use your past against you and how to overcome that shame. To just kind of dip into this topic, I first and foremost want to say, if a guy is using your past against you, I don't know what his problem is. I don't know him. It's definitely a maturity issue.
Yeah, it's an insecurity, an immaturity.
A man who is secure in himself and you and your relationship and his life is not going to do that.
Because here's the thing, and this is something that I have personally struggled with in relationships with men who have been very sexually affluent with lots of women. It's really hard to disconnect what they've done in the past to what's going on right in front of you in the current moment. And I think discernment is really important in these moments, because is the person you're with like gonna cheat on you because they are so sexually inclined that they can't just be happy monogamous with one person? Or is their past just like, oh, when they were in college, they just had fun and they were being experimental? And here's the thing. As I got older, I realized that this truly has nothing to do with what is going on in front of you. And somebody's past has nothing to do with who they are right now. So in my opinion, obviously, the reason I bring up my past experience with this is because I think age has a lot to do with this, coming to terms with it. Insecurity, like when I was younger, I was a hell of a lot more insecure about these things because it was just something that it was uncharted territory. I didn't really understand it. But I think being honest about your past and your history with your partner is so important. And you should be with somebody that makes you feel like safe to open up about those things, because not that it matters, or you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but like if they ask you a question, you shouldn't lie. You should be honest. But
don't
then
lie.
They, but then they can't get mad if they're asking a question, especially if it's about your past, because they weren't around yet. They didn't know you yet.
And honestly, I think the point to this question is like, and we've both been through it, there is a lot of guys that like do get mad, do drag you through the mud. I think majority of my abusive relationship was because he was so mad about my past. He used to say all the time, like, you're not pretty enough to act the way you do. All these guys think that you're an ugly slut. Like, it's a tactic to get control of a situation for people. So my first advice would be, as much as we want to have grace for people and understand that people are all going through different situations, if someone is really using your past as a way to shame you, they're not somebody that values you.
There's a difference between feeling some type of way about your past and like having to work through those emotions and being mature enough to recognize that it's their own insecurities that are making them feel that way. And then there's another thing with like them using it against you to make you feel bad, like you've done something wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. What you did before they knew you is a none of their business. If they want to ask you about it and you're going to be honest, then that's on them. You know, sometimes things are better left unsaid.
Absolutely. And that's my next point is, let's put ourselves in the perspective that this person who is using this against you is just going through some things of their own, some insecurity things. And maybe you really like this person and you want to make this work, but this is a huge roadblock. I think that a way to get past this or to get through this is, one, completely honest, open communication. Mm-hmm. Don't hide shit. Don't pretend it doesn't hurt your feelings when they treat you like that. Don't pretend you're too tough or too cool for it to bother you. Make sure that they're well aware that if they're shaming you for your past, it makes you feel devalued in your current relationship. If they still don't care, you know, that's something that you should reconsider. But I understand that people are traumatized and people have problems. So be honest, be respectful. I definitely know that in my past, I wasn't always very respectful about my past because I didn't respect the person I was with.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be with somebody, respect them, be honest with them, and communicate your feelings about the entire situation.
And obviously the person that asked this has already divulged information about their past. Maybe the person that they're with already knew things about their past, or maybe it came up in topic when it probably maybe shouldn't have. And like I've discussed on previous podcasts that that's something that I struggle with, because certain parts of my life, sometimes when I'm talking to my partner or, you know, just in general, I will say something or bring something up unintentionally meaning to, like not really thinking it through all the way. And I've gotten a lot better at it because all it ever does is cause problems. And yeah. like something that I've realized for anyone out there, like heed my warning. To you, it might not be a big deal. To you, it might be a funny story. To you, it might be a part of your past or your life or like who you are or...
And not matter.
Not matter. It might just be like, you know, something that happened to you along your journey. I don't think people that are romantically interested in you ever need to or want to hear about your sexual experiences or your past. I'm assuming we're talking about sexual experiences. It's just better left unsaid.
Unless they're explicitly asking, that is truly such good advice. Like, don't make little hints. Don't drop little comments. Like, leave your past out of your present. And if it's a mature, responsible, respectful person, it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And I should say, I have never felt safer than I do now that I'm with a man who does not shame me for my past. But also, I am very conscious of the fact that I do not make unnecessary comments or bring my past forward unnecessarily. And that's how we keep that boundary and keep that respect.
Yeah, because if you're with somebody that's constantly asking you questions about your past, like they're probably very insecure.
They're insecure.
I definitely...
Bottom line.
I used to do that with one of my exes, but like he was a piece of shit and he had like a way about him that made me feel like he was gonna go... Like I felt like I needed to know these things about him because for like my own, like I don't know, protection almost, like I needed to know exactly everything that like made this man tick, which was super toxic. You know, don't do that. It's not worth it. If you're with someone that makes you feel
don't
that
ask
way,
questions you don't want to know the answer to also.
Yeah, like, don't be with someone that makes you feel like that.
Like you have to ask.
But it really isn't normal for someone that you're with to even ask about your past unless something like randomly comes up. But if someone is like asking you about your past experiences and then gets mad at you after asking you, like they're obviously insecure and that's a them problem. And I think it's a red flag if someone is asking you questions about your past when it's none of their business.
And I'll finish on this. I don't want to say, because I've been in a very similar situation where I had someone who treated me pretty poorly because of my past. And I felt I would have loved to have asked somebody, what do you do if someone shaming you about your past? And I don't want to like not answer the question and make you feel like you didn't really get a resolution from it. But I think the bottom line to what both of us are saying is that a mature, respectful, responsible, emotionally mature, emotionally intelligent person
wouldn't ask that.
They're not going to shame you. They're not. Yeah. Even if you said, I fucking got a train ran on me. Even if you word vomited and said too much, they might be like, maybe in the future, I don't want to hear.
Right. Okay. Here's the right way. Like if you're with the right person, here's how that conversation would go. You accidentally divulge too much. You think it's silly. Ha ha. It upsets them. Instead of them getting mad, like as if you just cheated on them and shaming you, calling you a whore, a slut, holding it against you for the next 8 years that they're with you, they tell you, hey, sometimes you bring up your past and it's just not something
that make me feel good.
I want to hear.
Just make sure that you are respecting your own boundaries and your own values before you're worrying about somebody else. Because if somebody else is treating you like that, there's a reason for it. Moving on. The next question is about, what do you do when a guy goes randomly MIA or ghosts you after giving it their all or pretending that they care about you deeply?
You disappear. You don't call them. You don't text them. You don't act like you care. I don't care. If you have to cry yourself to sleep every night, missing this man, wondering where this man is, you fall off the face of the fucking earth and make them wonder, she doesn't care?
Am I ghosting her or is she ghosting me?
You're ghosting them now. You flip the fucking script.
Let's talk about the no contact obsession technique. This is basically how you can get somebody who has ghosted you or gone MIA on you to not only reconsider their thoughts and feelings towards you, to also make them feel like shit about the reason that they ghosted you in the first place. This technique is the most hardcore form of no contact. I'm not talking not texting them back. Do not block them because it's going to make you look like you care too much. You're going to fall off the face of the earth. You're not going to post. You're not going to respond. You're going to disappear. And when they go to look at your page and wonder what you're up to, there's nothing. You're exactly where they left you. And they're going to wonder, is this person hurting? Does this person care? Why has this person not reached out? And they're going to reach out to you. I promise. Do you know what you're going to do?
You're not going to respond.
Don't respond.
Yeah.
You're not going to block them. Don't block them, because then they're going to be like, oh, they're mad. They care.
Yeah, they care.
Just don't respond. Then don't go post a picture of you and your friends like being cute girlies. It's too obvious, right?
Because I think with social media, it makes it so easy for us to go try to like rub in how sad we are, how happy we are when someone leaves our life. Like, we want them to see us doing well or see us doing bad to hopefully have an effect on them. But the most effective way to get somebody's attention after they've ghosted you is to literally not give them anything. Not show them what you're doing, not show them how you're feeling. For all they know, if it's common of you to post and you stop posting, they're gonna be like, where the fuck did this person go? What is she doing? Who's she with? Why is she not posting that she doesn't care? She doesn't. I texted her, she didn't respond. Oh my God, did I fuck this up? Let them sit and let them wonder.
Let them wonder.
Let them fucking worry. Let them fucking sweat. They left you. Here's the thing. You do this with hopes that, oh, maybe this person will come back and they'll realize what they've done. And like, this is like a tactic to get somebody back. But here's the thing to keep in mind. You're doing this to somebody who discarded you like you were nothing. So here's your chance to take your power back. You shouldn't be doing this with the intention of getting this person back, because the chances of them coming back and actually valuing you after this is very low. But you still have a chance to redeem yourself.
At least get a little shred of your dignity back.
Don't crash out and send them 100 texts. Bitch, I'm not judging you, because I've, oh my God.
Don't do it.
I literally deserve jail for some of the fucking crash outs that I've had. I'm not judging you, but if you've crashed out, it doesn't matter how many times you've crashed out. You can still redeem yourself.
There's time.
All you have to do is fall off. Do not respond when they finally reach out. And in the best case scenario, if they do want to try something again, you're probably going to get hurt again. So just keep that in mind, but at least you got your dignity back. And if you're really strong and really wanting to get your power back from the situation, like, just leave them fucking wondering. It will eat at them for years,
and you'll get over it.
Yeah,
because it didn't matter that much.
Yeah,
I promise. If someone's ghosting you, it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, or it shouldn't. If it does, this is not somebody that you should want anyways.
But full circle with this, apart from no contact and getting your dignity back, if somebody is ghosting you after they've said they care about you deeply or have created a relationship or whatever it may be, they are either very emotionally damaged, extremely avoidant, and have major emotional issues, or they don't like you. Either way, it's not for you. You can't get somebody back who ghosted you and have a healthy, good, happy relationship. Somebody who throws you in the garbage does not value you.
So, like, let me give you an example of a very avoidant, traumatized, difficult person and situation that actually ended up coming to fruition. I was talking to someone for a very long time who I am now in a relationship with, and we're very happy, and he treats me very well, and we're very much in love, and it's great. Okay. He was very, very hard to get a read on for a very long time. But the one thing that I will say that he never did was he never ghosted me. He never like just disappeared on me. He always communicated to me what he was feeling and how he was thinking. He never just disappeared. He was always very honest with what he was feeling in that moment, like whether or not he was ready for a relationship or if he was dealing with something else at the time or if he had this that he was worried about. And obviously it came to a point where I was like, this person isn't putting forth the energy that I need for someone. Like, I'm not saying I need you to fucking tie me down right now, but I need somebody to commit to me a little bit at this point, especially when it got further down the line. But had he just like stopped responding, my point of bringing this up is there is a way to tell the difference between somebody that has potential, and don't let this story get your hopes up if you're in a situation where it's like really difficult. Because honestly, I think the thing that eventually got me and my partner together was me kind of like going off and doing my own thing for a little bit and being like, if you don't want me.
Yeah.
Then I don't need this.
I don't need it.
It's like the, I don't need you. If you want me, you know I'm here, but I'm not going to be here forever type of
vibe. I'm not your beck and call. Yeah. I'm not just here like when it's convenient.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk away for my own dignity. And it's not like this was someone who'd ghosted you or hurt you, but they saw you like, oh, I don't need him. Now he's like, I need her.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like, we don't want to start any relationship like that. But my point of bringing this up is like,
it's not always perfect.
When it's not always going to be perfect. And there can be trials and tribulations leading up to like making someone feel safe, because again, people have trauma, and sometimes their trauma and what they've dealt with in their past kind of prevents them from being able to open up to you as quickly. But when somebody's ghosting you, like, there's a reason why they're doing that, and it's not because they want to be with you.
Absolutely. Whatever the reason is, it's not a good one for your relationship.
You should still, even if you're in like a tumultuous kind of like situationship, like, you should still be able to reach out to this person and talk to them. If there's any hope that you're your situationship is going to work out, this person will communicate with you. They're not just going to fall off the face of the earth.
Because if they fall off the face of the earth, they don't want a relationship
with
you.
They don't care if you live or die, essentially, is what they're saying.
And even if they pretended like they do, and actually I have a perfect, perfect example for this. The guy that I was talking to before I met my fiance, I was enamored. I don't get enamored. Let's be for real. I really thought this guy was the bee's knees. It's just because he was hot, okay? His personality.
I never got to meet him, actually.
Bricks.
So.
Yes, he did. His personality was bricks. He was just attractive and tall. I had blinders on. Whatever. It's the old me. We're not talking about her. The point is.
Actually, you are talking about her. Right now.
He was very avoidant and he didn't ghost me, but he would not take things to the level that I want them to be. I basically gave him an ultimatum. I said, listen, we have been talking for, I spend the night at your house 5 nights a week. I'm not doing this. I'm your girlfriend or I'm your nothing. And he's like, I don't want a girlfriend. I said, okay.
Bye.
I did not, and this was the hardest thing. I'm making this sound like, oh, I never talked to him again. I did not talk to this man again. I cried. Again, I don't cry. I cried for days and days. I felt so rejected. I felt so embarrassed. I felt so stupid. I felt all of the bad things that make you want to crawl back to a person and try and get their attention is what I felt. And I didn't. I was true to my no contact for months. And the next person that I met was my fiance, which I'm super, super grateful because everything happens for a reason. But of course, this man who didn't want a relationship with me because he didn't like me enough to have a relationship with me comes back when he sees that I have
are happy
a man and says, yeah. I cared about you so much. I liked you so much. I was just not mentally like in a place where I was ready for that. But like, I really would love if you would give me another chance. You know how satisfying that was?
Yeah.
To be like, you're disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't like you. I never did. I didn't say that. Yeah. But and I have someone now who actually loves me and cares about me and didn't question our relationship for a second. So I responded and said, you know, thanks so much, but I'm super, super happy where I'm at. I wish you the best.
And I think we discussed these things to tell you guys that there are different scenarios where, you know, not everything is so black and white. And I think that is where sometimes relationships are so hard because we hear, oh, if he's not talking to her, if he doesn't want a relationship with you, like he's not the one. That's not always necessarily the case, right? Everyone's situation is unique. And I think it comes down to, again, my new word, discernment. You That's have to discern word. For yourself whether or not someone is worth putting in the effort for. Like with my situation, I knew this person was a good guy. I knew he had a lot to offer and I knew he would treat me really, really well because that's all he had done. He had only ever treated me well. The only times I felt sad had nothing to do with like the way he was treating me. It was more so
or the things he said.
Yeah, no, he was always loving and kind and caring and thoughtful and considerate. And like, no matter what, whether we were together, we hadn't talked in a month or whatever, if I reached out and I was crashing out and I was fucking losing my mind, he would respond.
He wasn't a red flag of a person.
I could call him at 7 in the morning, freaking out, 10 o'clock at night, freaking out. He would answer and he would fucking talk to me. And he was not my boyfriend at the time.
He wasn't ghosting you. He wasn't disrespecting you. And he cared about you.
Yeah, he cared. And I think it was very obvious to me that he cared. Did I at one point think like maybe he didn't care enough? Maybe he cared about me in a way that wasn't equivalent to what the way I cared about him? Sure, there were times because he's a man and he wasn't great at articulating the way he was feeling a lot of the times. And now that we're together, I'm able to better understand like what he was thinking during those times, which he wasn't able to discern. But for Madison's situation, like this person was kind of the opposite, like made her feel good, made her feel cared for, but not in like a emotional way.
He was always just out of reach. And how many times have we said on this podcast, if somebody tells you how they feel, believe them?
Yeah.
This was one of the first times in my life that I believed somebody when they told me they didn't want a relationship with me. Actually, it was the only time in my life that ever happened, but
fuck you.
When this situation happened to me and I truly cold turkey cut off this situation, it opened the door to the rest of my life, to my future. If I would have hung on to that person and not believed him when he said he didn't want me, I would probably not be with my fiance now, the person I'm going to spend my life with, because I would have been holding on to something that was not meant for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing that I could ever take out of this podcast, the shit that we tell you guys literally every week. I'm like, are we saying the same things over and over and over? If somebody is telling you that they don't like you or showing you that they don't like you, they don't like you. They don't want to be with you. And I think that's in your situation.
He was telling me he did like me.
He did like you.
Yeah.
It's not like you had to run from.
But it was confusing. So that's why I play like the devil's advocate in these conversations, because there were times where you and I were both like, run for the hills, run for the hills, because he was telling me that he did like me and that he did care about me. Obviously, upon further examination, and, you know, it's been a minute since that has been the case, I think that there was just a massive miscommunication, which I think is another reason why I felt so confused. Like, I am the first person that will pick up on these red flags because I've been through the ringer so many times, and I was kind of feeling like upset with myself, I think, for a minute, because I was thinking like, is he giving me all of these signs and I'm just not seeing them? Am I being gullible? Because I know the signs, but there was like a part of me, like my gut was telling me
that's not it,
something else. Like, I trusted the words he was saying. Men can tell you what you want to hear, but I actually believed him. And I don't know, again, comes back to discernment. I think listen to your gut. And that doesn't mean like, oh, if your gut's telling me, oh, he's a good guy and he does care about me, that you still don't deserve better and you still shouldn't walk away, because you should. You should walk away from anything that is not completely serving you and giving you exactly what you deserve.
And I've said this before, I'll say it again. What you don't change, you choose. If you don't change the circumstances of a situation where you're unhappy, you're choosing to stay in that exact same situation. And I think that's super relevant to our topic of, if somebody's ghosting you and making you feel like shit and you're very concerned about your relationship, or somebody's questioning your past and shaming you for your past, if you don't change your perspective on these relationships, you're choosing to stay in a situation where you're going to continue to be treated like shit.
Yeah. And nobody deserves to be treated like shit.
Except for you.
Except for me.
So horrible about saying that. You were supposed to cut that out.
Well, now you guys get to see the real her and how she treats me behind the scenes.
Allie! I want to know, who's your favorite? I'm just kidding.
Obviously me. Probably you, honestly.
No, we're not asking that.
Me. It's okay if you write me in the comments.
Like, it's fine. Everyone's like, Allie! We didn't get through a lot of questions. Try again.
Because yap, sipping yap. Yappity yap.
Sipping yap. Allie texts me and she goes, what should I name the podcast where we got blacked out? I was like, sipping yap. I was straight up joking.
I threw it in there.
I was straight up joking.
I know. Well, then I texted you again and said, hey, for real, can you help me? And you never replied. So I sip was and on yap my it own. Is.
We'll try again next week with the rest of the questions, because we have like quite good questions. Mm-hmm. If your question didn't get answered, it probably didn't, because we only answered two. We'll see you next week for episode 44.
Yeah, cheers.
44, that's good luck.